Tango Tango Papa 2041, August 29th, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from, somewhere in Oregon. I think I'm not too far from Grandview, Oregon. So that may be where I'm at. I'm about 9 miles or so away from where the load delivers. Let me see if Google can tell me where I'm at. I guess I should have already looked at this. Where am I? There we go. So I am at Prosser, P-R-O-S-S-E-R, Washington. We're getting some buzzing, and I know what that's from. Even though I don't have the computer plugged in, it's from the Verizon hotspot, or it could be from the phone, so I could move the phone away as well. Doesn't seem to be too bad at the moment. So anyway, the load delivers tomorrow, anytime tomorrow at Grandview, Washington. And so, and then after that, I'll be picking a load up at Hermiston, Oregon, which isn't very far from here. And then that load delivers to, I think, down in Texas someplace. I didn't really look at it too carefully. But in any case, the load that I have, I picked up in, I believe I picked it up in Kentucky, if I'm thinking properly. So it was, I've been on the same load for several days. So about a month has gone past since the last podcast, a month and a day, because I think the last one was on July the 28th, and this is August the 29th. So I've been home in between. I've been back at work for about... coming up on a week tomorrow. So while I was home this last time, I did end up having... I bought another mower. The riding lawnmower that I've had for I think I bought it maybe 5 years ago at Lowe's, at the Lowe's store. And I don't know it. Of course, you live and learn. You never really know. It was a, sort of a house brand, I think, Troy-Bilt. But I don't know if that was a Lowe's house brand. But it had kind of problems from the start. And then I made the mistake of buying one that had been returned, because, you get a nice little discount off of the price. And so I bought the, one that had been, someone had bought it and then returned it. And in that case, that was turned out to be a mistake. I'm starting the air conditioner up. It's getting a little warm in here. Turned out to be a mistake. So, initially it, seemed to have a problem with the carburetor. And I don't know. Then it... went through I think I had to take it back another time, and it had a problem, and then, so it went back. I had to get it worked on a couple of times, but then because it had some kind of a mechanical issue that wasn't related to the motor, and then so I've had a couple of little issues with it, the thing that happened this last, I don't know, when I was home the last time, the deck you know, it's a riding lawnmower, so the deck had fallen down, and so my youngest brother came over and sort of figured out what was wrong with it. The deck fell down. I think a bolt had come out somewhere, and that caused the belt, because it has a belt that drives the mower blades themselves. It caused that to fall off, or didn't completely fall off, but it came loose. I think one other time I had to replace the belt because it broke. You know, I think I hit it's probably my fault. It either got a rock in it or a branch or something, and it caused the belt to break. So I've had several different issues, but in any case, when I was home the last time, I think that was the time before, and then when I was home the last time, the belt fell off again, and so I was able to kind of put it back on myself. But then this last time I was home, I started to mow, and I noticed the deck had fallen down. It was kind of dragging. One side of it was completely fallen, you know, down. And then the belt kind of came off again because the deck had fallen down. And I said, you know, and then the other problem with it seemed like it was just really difficult to steer. It took a lot of effort to steer, particularly to the left. Seemed like it would turn easier to the right than it would to the left. And I got to looking at it, and it looks like the front wheel, the left front wheel, is sort of tilted inward at the bottom a little bit. So I don't know what the deal is with that, if something's bent or what the thing is. The motor's running fine. So I decided enough was enough, and so I went to Lowe's. I ended up going to Lowe's. And they no longer have Troy-Bilt. I would not buy another Troy-Bilt mower. They no longer have that. However, they have something that's made in the same factory, and it's probably very similar, and it's a Craftsman. If you'll recall, if you're in the United States and you ever shopped at Sears, Craftsman was a brand that Sears had, and it was actually the Craftsman tools actually had a pretty good reputation. And then of course Sears has been in decline for a while, and a few years ago they sold off the Craftsman brand, which ended up really cheapening it. I think now it's just a brand, and it's not whoever buys the brand is able to kind of slap it on whatever. And so instead of Troy-Bilt, now Lowe's has Craftsman. And so I was determined I wasn't going to do that. But Lowe's also sells some other brands, and one of the really good brands that they sell is John Deere. And you're not going to get the same stuff the same models. If you go to an actual John Deere dealer, the John Deere dealer is going to have the highest end models, and then the more of the consumer type stuff is sold at least by Lowe's and perhaps other retailers. I haven't really researched it to find out if other retailers handle the John Deere mowers or not, but so anyway, I ended up buying a sort of a mid-range riding lawnmower, John Deere riding lawnmower, and I think I'm going to be very happy with it. It seems to, I was able to kind of finish mowing my lawn with it, and it seems to work pretty well, and it's I think it comes with a couple of year warranty, and I went ahead and paid, $360 extra for the kind of the extended thing that they offer. And as I understand it, if there is a problem, the local John Deere dealer in Northwest Arkansas is actually responsible for the repair. any repairs that would be made under warranty. And so, if I read the thing on the website correctly, they actually will come and pick it up, and then do the repair and then bring it back. So, which is useful. That can be useful, even though I could probably do that myself. It can be useful to have somebody just come pick a mower up and take it in for repair. So, but I think that I get the impression that the John, even the consumer level John Deere mowers seem to be pretty well built. On the Lowe's website, of course, each model is listed, and then there were quite a few customer reviews of the particular model that I got, and most people that went to the trouble of leaving a review seemed fairly happy with it. Of course, you had a few that you always have a few that don't like it, which that's actually a good thing if you can find people that don't like something or they had a bad experience. When you're going through product reviews, it's always a good thing if there are if all of the reviews aren't glowing, just glowing how wonderful the product is, because then you get to see sort of a real world view, or you get a real world impression of what a product is like and kind of what you might expect from it. But so far so good. I'm pretty happy with it. I've used it for probably about a little over 2 hours to kind of finish my mowing job, and so normally with the old mower it could take 3 to 4 hours, kind of depending. And so I think with this one, even though it's a 42 inch, so it's the same size, but this one might, it's possible that it could go a little bit faster, but it certainly it seems to be an easier experience. It just seems to work better. So we'll see. So that's kind of what I did while I was home the last time. That was otherwise just kind of the standard thing of kind of meeting friends and relatives to eat and those types of things. So otherwise, kind of. I really try not to pay too much attention to the news, and of course it's the news itself, depending on where you're getting your news from, a lot of it is just utter insanity. There's a lot of fake news. The amount of fake news coming from the so-called mainstream media is seems to be accelerating. I guess it might be easy to get that impression, but there's quite a few stories that have come out that they come out and then 24 to 72 hours later they have to retract them, and it's happened. Yeah, it seems to be that cycle seems to be happening with increasing frequency, but. What has happened, and I've talked about this quite a bit in the past, what has happened there, and it's rather predictable, a percentage, and it's a substantial percentage of people, there's a so-called Trump derangement syndrome. People just absolutely hate Donald Trump, theory about why they hate Trump in particular is because he is a man but he's not the typical sort of feminized politician, because a lot of politicians tend to be sort of, you can think of them as you go into a fancy restaurant and then you have the fancy waiter, you know, and usually they're men. And, you know, if you go in a really fancy restaurant, typically the waiters are men and they kind of put on airs and what have you. And so you can think of the, you know, politicians are sort of like, a lot of the politicians are sort of like, you know, they're sort of like fancy waiters. And you know, a fancy waiter is a really good manipulator. And of course, politicians are really good manipulators. So sort of make you think that you're being served. They're really good at ego massaging, but what ends up happening, you're the dinner. You know, they're usually using you to gain power and money and what have you. And so that's but Donald Trump is not that. Donald Trump is, he's not perfect. No one would say that he's perfect, and certainly I'm not going to say that the man's perfect. But he does kind of represent a real man to a large extent. And the part that makes him really dangerous, and the part that drives them to the left, and the part that drives them, and some on the right as well, the part that drives them insane is that he is reasonable. You know, and of course they're trying to paint him as just absolutely unreasonable. He's crazy, he's narcissistic, blah blah blah. But if you're objective, then Donald Trump comes across as a reasonable man. That doesn't mean that a reasonable man will fight back if he's attacked. And that drives the certain types of people, it drives them utterly insane. And you see that if you look at the a dysfunctional family, or the family dynamics, you'd have the bitchy witchy wife, which would represent the left, and then in a normal, really dysfunctional family, you'd have the sort of the namby-pamby husband that doesn't, he just wants to please the wife and doesn't want to rock the boat, and just kind of let they both like spending money or being crazy. So, but let's say you have the bitchy witchy wife, but then you have a reasonable man, a reasonable husband. And the really bitchy witchy wife types hate the guy that's reasonable. And so that's what, that is at the root of the Trump derangement syndrome. They hate him because he can't be manipulated. You're not going to manipulate Donald Trump, and he fights back. And he's very effective. He wins every time because he stays calm. So, and the guy's been married a bunch of times. He's already familiar with these principles, and he seems to be a fast learner. He, really learns quickly on his feet. That's kind of been demonstrated over and over again. So they just, he became president, and it is just, he's just driving them insane because he's reasonable, yet forceful, and he fights back. And they're kind of, you'd say slowly, and that's debatable, the speed of it. Probably different speeds for different people, but they're slowly going mad. And I don't know where the madness really ends. I don't know. I guess I should, I don't know if where I would be able to do research on let's say you had a really insane wife, you know, bitchy, witchy wife, and a reasonable husband. I don't know what the family dynamic, if it ends in some sort of a divorce, or if the wife ends up in an insane asylum, or you know, or committing suicide, or what. But that would, I don't know where I would research something like that, but that would possibly predict, you know, make it possible to sort of, kind of scale it up to the political level and predict what would happen. But I'd say in some cases, the bitchy witchy wife can, you know, is sort of is bitchy witchy, but in some cases, then they love the reasonable husband and kind of end up going along with him in the end. But probably in some cases, they end up divorcing. So, you know, but in the case of a country, boy, that's driving me insane. Let me see if I can, if it's the phone, let me move it. See if that, I think it was the phone, maybe. I just had the phone, I moved it to the other side, and that maybe seems to have helped. So I don't know what will happen as these people are really, you know, descending into madness. And, of course, it's going to come to a head at some point. And I, you know, it's hard to say what that climax is going to be. It's probably going to revolve around there's a bunch of people that are going to end up in jail, you know, the so-called deep state types will end up in jail at some point. And, you know, that the wheels of justice, as I've said before, grind very slowly forward, and so I think that I do believe that's going to happen. Regardless, I know a lot of people are very skeptical that anything is going to happen at all, that anything's going to come of it, of all these investigations into the investigators, so-called. But you know, I believe that justice will eventually prevail. So that may cause some of these people to sort of sober up, and then I don't know what happens to the other ones. So, regardless, the what you have to do as an individual is sort of save yourself from the, you know, from the group madness. For, you know, and let's say there's some sort of a mob type behavior going on, or the cult-like behavior where, you know, whatever the group is, they're all kind of thinking the same way. It's up to you as an individual to be able to remain calm enough and not kind of pick up on the emotional contagion. Remain calm enough, you know, shielded enough, so that you're still able to kind of be reasonable and think for yourself, and perhaps, if need be, extract yourself from whatever the situation is. You know, let's say physically, for example, if you're in a let's say you live in a, you know, a city somewhere, let's say you live in Portland, Oregon, in the wrong place, or you live in some place like Baltimore or Detroit, there are certain parts of that you know, if you had any sense at all, you would have gotten out of there. You would have separated yourself from that, because it's there's a lot of stuff that's just utterly, utter insanity. You know, another place that seems to be, that's been a bad place in the past is, Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, not recently, but they've had riots. They've had race riots there before. certain parts of Los Angeles. Now Dayton, Ohio, I think because of that shooter thing, and then there was something else here recently that happened in Dayton, Ohio within the past few days. I didn't really read about it. I just saw, I think, a headline on a television set in passing somewhere. And so there's certain places that you just, and it doesn't necessarily have to be someplace that, you're listening to newscasts that they put a spotlight on that you have to be able to discern this stuff for yourself. So there's certain, usually as a rule of thumb, if there's a bad area or something bad that goes on in an area, that is fairly well self-contained. Now, sometimes the bad area can spill out into other, let's say it's neighborhoods or whatever. Generally speaking, it stays put. So that's one of the things that can work in your favor. There's certain areas, obviously, of inner cities, if it's a, you think it's a problem, and probably the bigger the city, the worse it is, get the hell out of there. Stay out of those areas. I've given this example plenty of times in the past. The south part of Dallas, there are certain areas that they look nice, but they're really bad, like where there's several truck stops that are fairly close together in South Dallas area. And those truck stops are kind of bad neighborhoods, even though they look nice. They don't look that bad, but they're, you can tell by the people that are hanging out there and, that you really shouldn't be hanging out there. And, unless you have to. But you just go a few miles away to, like an industrial park, and the industrial park is just completely deserted, perfectly safe. And it might just be just a few miles away. And yet you go to the wrong place, to those bad areas, and, it's a completely different story. But beyond that, today we have, the one thing that, as I've said many times in the past, the one thing that always improves is technology, knowledge, technical knowledge. Technology improves, communications improve. So we've got all this marvelous communication ability, and that it's not really necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's every tool, whatever tool is, it could be a smartphone or an atomic bomb or a hammer or a crowbar or a wrench. Every tool can be used for good, and it can be used for bad or for evil. And such is the case with improved communication. So we have all of this ability to communicate. And, and for the last few years, we've been carrying it around in our pockets in the form of a smartphone and ever-improving mobile networks, making that communication that much better, that much more efficient, that much more quick. But if you want, it comes back to the individual. So you need to be protected from the people around you. If the people around you are bad, or if the people around you are infected, if they're overly emotional, if you may think, emotions are normal, and normal to be emotional, blah blah blah. Well, I'm sorry, but you don't have a fire. Your mind does not have a firewall. Your mind needs a firewall. And the firewall for your mind really is, at the end of the day, it really is the ability, the real ability for you to remain as calm and as emotionless as possible. And that's not something that you can kind of fake. You have to have that ability. You have to develop that ability. Now, if you go to my website, I mention it once in a while, truckertompodcast.com. Up near the top, there's a link that says meditation. You can click on that, and there's about, I think, about four files, MP3 files that you can download or play right there on your device. That, you know, teach you a very simple meditation technique, and I can't promise it'll help everybody, but it will help most people. I do believe that it can help most people, but it's up to you to practice it. And basically what you're practicing is sort of keeping your, you know, we as human beings have this conscious point of awareness, and that meditation basically teaches you how to separate you, whatever you are, as a point of conscious awareness. Practice being separate from your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. Your consciousness is not your thoughts. Your thoughts are, you know, wherever they're coming from, that's not you. That those are your thoughts, you know, and they, you know, you're the typical person walks around lost in the machinery of their mind, you know, because they've got all these things going on, you know, you got all these brain cells firing and what have you, and the typical person, their thoughts go, you know, it's kind of like a squirrel cage, you know, like a rat running in a squirrel cage, you know, and it goes around and around and around, and it doesn't, nothing ever gets resolved. And so the meditation, basically, if you, you know, at least the one that's on my website will teach you, if you practice it, learn how to do it. Very simple technique that teaches you that, you know, how to separate your conscious awareness from your thoughts. And you can actually prove, if you do that properly, you can actually prove to yourself that your conscious awareness can actually be held separate, sort of out of your thoughts. Sort of think of it, you know, sort of the metaphor coming to the surface of your mind. And, but learning to do that is really important. Because, you know, and it's not an instant process. As I say, you've got to, if you find that it helps you, it's up to you to continue with it. You need to practice it over, you know, basically you should be doing it the rest of your life. But at some point, you know, you're out of your emotions. And at the end of the day, you know, emotions are dangerous. I think emotions are responsible for probably, you know, well, not necessarily emotions themselves, but the abuse of emotions, and that's what people do. They use the normal emotions that we have. They sort of abuse them, amplify them, use them in ways that are unhealthy. And so I think that's, kind of use them, in other words, use them in a really egotistical way, the wrong side of the ego, sort of amplify the wrong side of the ego with emotions. And so I think that's responsible for a lot of the ills in the world. So if you can learn to separate yourself from your thoughts, and by default from those emotions, then you really do end up with a firewall for your mind. And having a firewall for your mind is absolutely necessary. Because if you have a firewall for your mind, then, and you learn how to separate yourself from your thoughts, then you can use your thoughts in such a way that you're able to reason, for example. You're able to think for yourself. But emotions really are people that are lost in emotions are really insane. Emotions are a form of insanity. They really are. And so it's really necessary to learn how to separate from those and not be kind of controlled by them. Because the more, the more of an emotional state that you're in, the more controllable you are from the outside to the, and it's a sort of, you can think of it as sort of a sliding scale. The more upset you are, the more agitated you are, the more suggestible you are. But the thing is, your ego will never allow you, you can end up taking someone, the group suggestion, let's say, and your ego will never allow you to believe that you acted. It's very difficult to realize that you acted because someone suggested it, or the group pressure suggested that you do this. You have a really difficult time admitting to yourself that you acted out of someone else's will. People will always default back to saying, well, I did it because I wanted to. I was under pressure, but I did it because I wanted to. No, you didn't. You did it because you were under pressure. And that's a very difficult thing to admit. The house that I have, I bought it because the salesman pressured me. And it was difficult for me to admit that to myself. But I finally did, and learned the lesson and go on. Learn a valuable lesson. So the information, the communication, the information that we get via communication. The communication is probably going to keep improving. It's, the pace of it's probably going to pick up. I know that seems hard to believe, but it probably will. And so the ability to have a real mental firewall is not only important now, but it's going to be that much more important to have in the future. Because if you've got a really effective mental firewall, then it becomes possible you can interact with the world, but you're not of the world. That's what the Bible, my opinion, is talking about. You know, don't be, you can be in the world, but not of the world. And being emotional, being lost in your thoughts, being lost in your emotions, makes you of the world, whether you like it or not. All who sin are slaves, with the sin being emotions, emotional upset, playing God in your own mind via resentment. You know, they keep, you know, if you read science fiction, and I've always liked science fiction, and one of the ideas that people have, and they're actually trying to make it a reality, is the idea of a direct brain interface to the internet. And that's probably, it probably is, in theory, is possible that something like that could happen. There's certainly plenty of stories, science fiction type stories, that dream about something like that, fantasize about that type of thing and what might happen. But I can tell you what would, there's a good chance that if an emotional person, the normal, person that thinks they're normal and they're emotional and they've got this direct brain interface, I'm predicting right now there's a really good chance that it's going to drive them insane that much quicker. I think there's a real possibility that it could end up causing some people to go insane. It's kind of like the person winning the lottery. Everybody has character flaws. The person wins the lottery. I'm normal. I have character flaws. And then you win the lottery. You have all this money that you didn't earn. And all of a sudden, those character flaws can just run wild. They couldn't before because you didn't have enough money. They couldn't express themselves. And then all of a sudden, those character flaws can just, begin to express themselves like crazy. And you come back 5 years later and they're dead. And maybe their family's dead or they're divorced or God knows what. They're in jail. And it's all because those character flaws that were present suddenly were able to sort of run wild. So I think the same thing applies. You sort of plug your mind directly into the internet, and the same type of thing could easily end up happening if you don't have a firewall for your mind. You know, the bad stuff, the viruses get into your mind via being upset. And you'll eat people either defend their upset. Oh, it's normal to be upset. It's normal to, look at the world and the state of the world and just be really upset with all of it. No, it's not. You need to be able to look at the world calmly. You need to be able to look at yourself calmly. What do you think repentance is? I think repentance, in part, is being able to look at what human beings are capable of, all of the really dark things that human beings are capable of, and realize kind of honestly that, yeah, that would be me if I was in that situation. There's probably a good chance that that would be me, that I would do, you know, imagine, you know, because it's easy for us to imagine that if we were in Hitler Germany, that we would be the Arthur Schindler and, you know, we would be the hero of the story and we wouldn't go along with whatever. Sorry. Chances are that I, you know, if I was alive during Nazi Germany and I was a German, chances are I would have been, you know, depending on the situation, I would have been the, you know, the security guard in a concentration camp if I was in the wrong situation at the wrong time. Let's be honest. Most people will just kind of go along in order to get along. It's easy. It's so much. It seems to be so much easier just to kind of go along and go with the flow. And I believe that's really in part what repentance is really looking at your own character and realizing how treacherous you are. You know, we may not, you know, generally we don't want to realize those things. We don't want to realize that, you know, depending on what the circumstances are, we're just as treacherous, can be just as treacherous as the next person. You know, and the difference, you know, and it's a, you know, difficult thing to face, difficult thing to realize, but if you can do that, that is, that goes a long way towards, the idea of repentance. And I really believe that that's a kind of a necessary thing to, sort of look at your own character and sort of realize, yeah, I'm suggestible. I go along with the group. I've gone along with the group in the past. I've gone, you know, gave into the salesman's pressure, etc., etc. But if you remain, if you can remain calm in the most difficult of circumstances, if you can remain calm, then that vastly reduces the chance that you're gonna just willy-nilly go along with the group, that you'll just go along with whatever the group does. But you can see, you know, like on Twitter, I have a Twitter account. I haven't looked at it in a long time. Occasionally I get emails from Twitter. Oh, this is some of the activity of the people that you follow. And I might look through the email. But very, you know, I don't have the app installed on any of my devices anymore. And I just pretty much ignore it, but I do know, because I hear a lot of people talk about it, I do know that there are, you know, they call them the Twitter mobs. These really mob, you know, sort of leftist mobs that, you know, the Twitter is sort of like the CB radio, the vulgarity, the dissing. You know, it's just on steroids. It's what the CB radio could never be because it was limited in scope. Takes it up to a global level. And so you have these mobs of people that are online. That are all, you know, sort of thinking alike. Part of the sea of all alike, and so they were all outraged. You have the outrage mobs, and then you have companies that, you know, particularly companies that kind of give in to them, as well as individuals. You know, so you have to, you know, if you got any sense, you want to protect yourself from that. You want to protect yourself from insanity. Because it is, you know, despite what they say, it is contagious. Via upset. Via out of control emotions. And it's always the negative emotions that really get out of control. You know, positive emotion only goes so far. You know, then you get into the negative stuff. You know, the kind of changing, you know, bringing some other element into this conversation. You know, you have like the, you know, the sadomasochist sex type thing. And, you know, with sex, there's only so much, you know, kind of the positive stuff out of it. Well, then they get into the negative stuff, and then they get into the pain, and the pain becomes erotic. And then you get, you know, you've got all, you know, and I don't know what all the details are, but I know what some of them are, and, It's a bottomless pit that these people that get into the sadomasochist thing, it's a bottomless pit that they enter into, and it's, those are all negative. You know, you can think of the pain as sort of the negative side. And it's really insane. And it really is a bottomless pit. And so is emotion. Emotions will lead, you know, can lead people to kill each other. They can lead people to suicide. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing to, you know, oh, it's normal. It's normal to be upset. Well, keep thinking that way. See where it goes. So you really do need a firewall for your mind. You really do need to learn to be, you know, to separate yourself from your thoughts, separate yourself from your emotions, and be as calm as possible. And if a brain, a direct brain interface ever does come along, do not make the mistake of thinking that you can handle it. Chances are you can't. Chances are it would be like winning the lottery and then you're, you know, and then the thing would just overwhelm you. It would, you know, sort of, it's like the engine without a governor running out of control, speeding up out of control until it blows up. But if you don't have a firewall for your mind, then who writes your story? You know, they love to talk about the narrative. Who, and everybody has their own narrative or story. You know, and the, sort of the narrative or the story of your life, the story, you know, that's where, in part, where you know, a large part, where you're able to derive meaning for your life. And who writes that narrative? Who writes that story? Is it the group? Is it? Are you receiving that narrative via the pressure from the people around you? Or are you able to, do you have your own narrative? And I believe if you don't have an effective firewall for your mind, then the story is being written for you. But you'll have a really difficult time admitting that to yourself. If you really do have an effective firewall for your mind, then you have a genuine identity. That's where the opportunity comes in to find your genuine identity, who you really are. But as long as you're upset, as long as you're resentful, whether you're aware of the resentment or not, it's buried in there. If you know, and the evidence that the resentment is there is, even if it's buried, the evidence is if people can upset you, especially the people that are close to you, if they can upset you, then you've got things that you're not looking at. So it really is a necessary thing to have a firewall for your mind. And this meditation technique that's on my website, it's there. It's perfectly free of charge. It's up to you to try it. And as I say, if you find that it helps you, and I believe that it will help most people, if you find that it helps you, then it's up to you to continue with it. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Let's see if I can get it uploaded. Hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.